there's far too many of you die. You know.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844, I almost forgot the phone number, 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And as I've said before, I only get in trouble when I start trying to think. If I just let it roll off, then I know what the phone number is. It's just back in there somewhere. But then something happens when I try to inject thought into it. You know, you got the memory back there, and it's locked in. But anyway, I know who the guy is sitting across from me is Sandy Williams. Hey, Sandy, how you doing, man?
Pretty good, pretty good. You know, you talk about thinking. You're not supposed to do that when you, like, play golf either.
Just automatic.
Swing the club, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, all of those things, you know, you just get caught up in. But anyway, it's good to see you, my friend.
Well, it's good to be seen. It's good to be here.
Yeah. You know, you know, Sandy, there's so many things to talk about. Where do I want to begin? You don't have to worry about these things because you don't live so close to other people. But fireworks, man, in the city.
Yeah, because I confessed last Friday on the air that probably I would be firing illegally some fireworks from my, but I do live remotely. I don't have close neighbors, so I can feel good about that.
You're a big fireworks guy.
Well, I've got grandchildren and I'm a child basically at heart. So yeah, about on the 4th, my 8th grade interest in pyrotechnic comes back to me. And
So you have the real deal.
Yeah, I went with one of my oldest grandson, and he navigated me to a place in Caledonia that had quite a supply of stuff. Yeah,
you know, I often wonder, in the city, houses are so close together, and they are firing off these major fireworks.
Yeah, that's crazy. It is crazy to do it in an urban setting. The stuff that goes up in the air and explodes.
The real fireworks.
Yeah.
And they said they were, 35-40% higher than they normally are? I don't understand how these people can afford the real deal fireworks, right? You know, I bought some fireworks, but they were just little pop gun things, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know it when I bought them. I don't know what I was expecting. But the young man I'm raising loves fireworks, so I said. And then when I go, I take them to a park somewhere, right? But I was expecting some bigger bangs than what I got. But I guess that depends on what you're willing to put out in the way of cost.
Yeah, mine are special, and they don't make any noise. And they don't bother any neighbors. No, that's not true.
I was about to say, the animals.
Yeah.
I know the animals are probably wondering, you know, what's going on?
Well, we have, I've got a flare gun to fire at geese.
Right.
So
get them out of the way.
Get them out of the yard. So that goes on regularly.
You're a really humane guy, Sandy.
Well, I don't shoot them at the geese.
I know.
they're designed to frighten the geese.
Yeah, but you know, for heaven's sakes, the 4th of July is on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
People start shooting them off on July 1st, and they don't end until July 7th or 8th.
Mm.
And I'm like, enough already, right? And I don't know, maybe once the 4th is over, do they cut the prices on the fireworks?
Oh, sure.
Oh, that's why they're still.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you had a bunch of fireworks in your inventory on July 5th.
They don't do you any good.
Yeah, you'd be wanting to sell them at some lower price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I was thankful for the rain that came, because it was the one thing that got the people to stop shooting off the fireworks.
Yeah, you're looking at a culprit here.
I know what I'm saying, but listen, Sandy.
You're preaching to the culprit.
I know, but Sandy, you don't live adjacent to people.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you're in wide open spaces. I'm talking about people whose homes are, you know,
I have raised four sons, and I can tell you, living in Whitefish Bay in pretty tight quarters. Yeah, it was urban quarters.
Right.
And I do remember spending some time in the middle of the street with some...
You were guilty, huh? Mm. Oh, Sandy, don't tell me you're one of the culprits.
Yeah.
but...
I'll take the fifth.
All right. but anyway, man, hopefully it's finally over. What is today, the 7th? Well, I don't know. Maybe I was hearing little vestiges of it last night.
Yep.
You know, there's a guy calling already. He wants to chime in. I don't know if he's...
I hope it's not the River Hills Police.
I don't know. And you know, in the city, it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And people want the police to stop. Police don't have time to deal with fireworks, right?
Right.
I mean, they really don't. And so the more you hear it, my neighbors are we going to be able to do anything? I said, there's nothing you can do about it. It just has to run its course, right?
Yeah, I mean, there is a Darwinian thing. I mean, there's some people who do this all the time end up without fingers, and so at some point they can't hold on to these devices very well, and they probably slow down the rate at which they use them.
Well, you know, I live across the street from a school, mm-hmm. and people know that, so they come to the playground where there's asphalt.
Perfect.
Yeah. Now, I don't mind, because I went over and did my little bit of it, and lasted all of about 10 minutes, mm-hmm. and I was done for the year.
Mm.
And it was dark, so I came back. I got up early in the morning, and I came back and picked up my garbage, right?
Yeah. Now, that is important. I think people should clean up after themselves.
Yeah, they leave this stuff all over the playground. It looks like a war zone. Somebody's got to come back and clean that up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now we're on the same side.
Yeah.
We're on the same page about cleaning up after.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a mess. But I'll tell you this. I saw some of the fireworks that they had at the lake. The Big Bang.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get to see any of them?
No.
The fireworks that they have today, Sandy, are so creative.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely breathtaking, the fireworks display that they had on the 4th of July here in Milwaukee. It's an unbelievable, but you see that on the 4th of July nationally, you know, in Washington. It's just breathtaking, the changes that they've been able to make and the characters that they can, and the colors, the vivid colors, the all the different explosions. I mean, I like fireworks too.
Yeah.
Right? I just don't like them. At 12, 2 o'clock in the morning, you know.
I think part of the fireworks thing is the little edginess involved with having to stand remotely with a sparkler and lighting this fuse and understanding that you're taking some kind of risk. It's the eighth grade boy thing.
Oh.
Like, this could be dangerous, and that, you know, and that makes it fun.
Well, it goes to show that I'm not...
You've grown up.
Well, I'm not the guy who does it much, because I still use a lighter.
Oh. you know what happens to people who use lighters?
Yeah.
They lose fingers.
Yeah. So, and then the fuses are maybe
lighter.
an inch long. The fuses, I'm sure the fuses you're talking about have to be at least a foot and a half long, right?
No, but a spark, you get a sparkler, and then you use an extended arm, and you basically... And then you hope that it goes up in the air and not horizontally at you as you're running away.
So there's a major risk any way you look at it.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's at least worth it. I tell you, man, I'm a guy, I don't like watching fireworks on television. You know, I don't like watching fireworks on television.
You need the smell of saltpeter.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's
triggers everything.
That's the smell that you have that's related to gunpowder.
So were you ever one of the guys, the guys who, like, they used to have the circus parade and people would claim their spot, you know, a week ahead of time with their chairs they put out.
Yeah, no.
but you know there are people like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or the fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
They take their lawn chairs and they put a chain on them to the fire hydrant and right on Wisconsin Avenue. I used to say, what is this? You know, people would leave their chairs.
Well, people do this for fireworks now. And people
yeah, I know.
Go and put out their spot, put a blanket down, camp there. Family alternates all day so they can keep their turf.
Yeah. I would never, 100,000 people down at the lakefront to watch the fireworks. How do you get out of there?
Yeah. A bicycle is the best way to do it.
Yeah. Well, that's the smart people. But yeah. They're people who actually drive down there. And I don't know how they can get, Lake Park or Lake Drive is not exactly an expanded, road where there's two or three cars. What is it? Just, I think, one car, maybe two cars, two lanes, if that. But anyway, I digress. I had to get that off my chest, Sandy.
Actually, this is reminding me a little bit of an escapade. You can believe this. I went at Harvard College, a bunch of smart guys. And you know the cherry bombs, remember
yes.
as a kid? And cherry bombs that was reputed would go off even when you dropped them in water. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so a fellow who lived down the hall from me decided to try this out in the bathtub in his in his dormitory room. And sure enough, it did go off underwater, and it also broke all the porcelain in the bathtub.
No.
So when the water came, settled down, and you looked down, it was like little pebbles of porcelain that he, yeah. It was a real expensive
experiment. Yeah, I'm sure
experiment.
It was. All right, got to go to a break. Tom, hang on. It's Friday, and Sandy Williams is here. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Fridays. That's Fridays with Sandy Williams. Let's go to the phone lines. And Tom from L.A. Tom, don't tell me you're pyrotechnic guy, too.
No, first off, we the people are the government. We must
come on, Tom. Let's talk about fireworks. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Second, the Republican Party is the party of murder and of pro-death. I want to ask a question. What is everyone really is complaining about gas prices and all of these types of things. What is the return on investment on fireworks?
Yeah. No, you're right.
One of the most idiotic things.
Oh, gosh.
So,
what is the return on investment? Because it reminds me kind of our military.
No, it's definitely that. It's definitely excites the part of the human nature that unfortunately is excited by also warfare. I mean, it clearly is. It's a bit like the NFL and the flyovers at the NFL football games. I mean, it's all part of the gladiator.
Another thing that we're wasting our taxpayer dollars on. But,
yeah, for
okay,
sure.
I'm sorry.
You know, Tom, I thought I was raining on the parade, but...
I'm raining on this parade. Especially, you know what, if you have fireworks as a city...
Did you like fireworks as a kid?
Now, they're this...
Absolutely.
This is one thing, Tom. The fireworks in Milwaukee are donated so the government doesn't pay for like the big thing that happens in the city that they put on.
Community.
Yeah, see, I don't have a problem.
I think most municipalities it's donated as well, but
right. I don't have a problem with the city doing it and everyone going down and watching them and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the war zones that happen within our neighborhoods.
Oh yeah,
and I'm talking about the fact that, when we were kids, we had sparklers and stuff, and we'd go and watch the fireworks at the at the river or whatever it was, where people that were professionals did it.
Right, right.
The whole thing. But the thing is, this other thing that's going on in this country with, you know, first of all, you got people with PTSD from wars that think they're back in a war, so they're completely flipped out. Then you got animals that are just absolutely devastated from fireworks that they can't even function the next, you know, couple of days after the fireworks go off, and the fireworks go off.
Tom. So, Tom, I would say that there'll probably be people who say, I agree with everything Tom is saying, but it's only once a year. What would you say to them?
No, it starts in June.
Tom, you're absolutely right. And I probably am going to keep doing it in my backyard. But you are absolutely right.
Yeah, like I said, I don't mind sparklers and, you know, all that stuff, like when you were kids and stuff, because that was kind of fun and everything. But why is it that, you know, it's the same gun fetish. It's the same military-industrial war complex fetish. It's things that go up in the air, go boom, and then all of a sudden your money's gone. And now you're bitching about, you know, $7 gas. I mean, come on, give me a break.
Well, but what about the people who do it who don't have to worry about the $7 gas?
Well, and gas price is going down now, you know.
Yeah.
It's not going down as fast as it went up.
I'm glad you said that, Sandy, because no one gives Joe Biden credit, you know, when things are going up, but they sure give it. They don't give me credit when it's going down, but they sure give it to him when it's going up.
Like I said before, gas is a commodity, and it was going to go down, and if people
and you and I both know that.
The news media just covers whatever it is they think might cause people to get hysterical, and obviously, $5.50 gas is expensive, but. And it's going to go down slower than it went up, but I can guarantee you that in 3 months the price will be not what it is today.
Well, they are projecting somewhere around 370 in the next month and a half.
And you know, I told you I did the CPI adjustment to 1975 gas price, and if you just took inflation on the price of gas in 1975, it would be $4.78 today. So.
And let's not forget, the Republicans are the ones that stopped the bill from price gouging at the pump, where the Democrats put together a bill that said that the oil companies couldn't price gouge, but the Republicans all voted against that idea. So let's not forget that before, you know, some of these conservative callers call up and tell us about how big gas prices are and about immigration and I want to say one thing.
Incidentally,
CJ is going to be drowned by the Pacific Ocean with the big blue wave that's going to hit over his face in November.
So,
that's my prediction.
All right, Tom. Thank you very much for the call.
Just incidentally,
a waste of money.
On the immigration thing, there was news this morning in Britain since Brexit. The farm agricultural industry there has had trouble getting workers, much the way we have trouble getting workers if we don't have Mexican labor to work on it. And to the point that they've had crop failures because crops are rotting in the fields because they don't have people to do the agricultural work to harvest the crops, which is the very problem that people have forecast. And Wisconsin farms recognize their dependence on immigration. So all this tribal anti-immigration stuff and the tribalism that led to Brexit is beginning to cause its problems.
But, you know, Sandy, with that, And those things dying on the vine becomes higher prices even, right?
Oh, well, yeah. Part of the shortage is this labor shortage. And so there is, you know, people ignore the dislocation of labor that Brexit has caused, but it's caused a huge dislocation for British labor sources who, I don't know when you traveled in England 3 or 4 years ago, everybody who worked in the travel industry, the people who worked in hotels and everything were from Poland and outside of much the same way that it is in the United States. Many of the people who work in the United States in the travel business are not native to the United States.
You know, though, Sandy, it's all those, and I won't call those little things, but those are things that the American people have to start paying attention to, right? I mean, what you just said, the fact that these things, there's 372,000 new jobs.
You know, I think the problem is that when fear is the emotion that people are operating out of, fear doesn't look at facts. And fear is it obliterates the ability to actually see what's going on around you. That's what actually happens in a period of terror.
Right.
People lose contact with the reality, and they're operating on emotional conclusions about what's going on. And that's what's happening in the United States with much of our politics. You know, it's stoked with fear.
Sandy, I want to, you know, continue that discussion when we come back. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That's Fridays with Sandy Williams. Sandy, we're talking about a lot during the break, and a lot that I think that needs to be heard. Excuse me. And we were talking about fears that people have, you know. I used to be afraid of the dark, right? When I was a kid.
Yeah, that closet door, you look at it, and then you'd think, you could imagine it was opening slowly.
And I was a guy who liked the old scary movies, right? From the 50s. I still watch the stuff today, and you know it's some of the worst cinema that's ever been produced.
Rear Window?
Yeah, Jimmy Stewart.
Psycho?
Yeah. Yeah, and that stuff couldn't
those
sleep.
Those were pretty good movies, actually.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the good ones like that. I'm talking about the Brain from Mars.
Oh,
you know, or the Crawfish, you know, from Venus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those kinds of movies. I still, if I get a chance, I don't know. I'm kind of hooked on that stuff. So. And you know how horrible they were made. And they put them out, look like every other week. But anyway, got you afraid of things. And so people, we're afraid of things. I'm not saying that there aren't some things we shouldn't be afraid of. But Sandy, our government scares us. I was looking at something the other day, and it talked about all of the UFOs, they're really bringing that up now.
Well, you know, fear is something that institutions have long used to sort
control
of manipulate and control. I mean, religion to some extent is premised on fear, stoking fear. Governments stoke fear. They try to explain that the reason for their relevance and the importance of the government by having enemies. Enemies are very important to governments and always have been, sort of to have a unifying force and to collect people and make them fearful of the same thing so you
right.
can bind them together. And in politics, it lately has become a primary motivating force, particularly on the right, but people fear, you know, and playing on the fear of loss of jobs, loss of social status, loss of racial advantage. A lot of the dog whistle stuff and tribalism is clearly premised on the fact that what used to be viewed as the majority, the white majority, those people are facing the prospect and the probability and the fact that they're going to lose the advantage of race that they've always had.
Which is all they have left.
Well, it's not all they have left. They have everything left.
I know.
Except that.
Yeah.
But for some of them, it has felt that they have realized now subconsciously how fundamentally important it has been to be, you know, a white kid. You're born on third base,
right?
In the United States, more or less. If you have parents at home and you're white, and you're on third base.
But Sandy, you're a rare guy to say that. Okay, I mean, it's almost like you're a traitor. I mean, to say that, because it if that's brought up, you know, people will challenge that. But I'll tell you, here's a prime example. When the we were talking earlier about the immigrants at the border, and when and the pushback that you got constantly, Sandy, from the right was that the gang, what was the name of the gang? 21, I can't remember. There was a gang out of Mexico.
Oh, that, well, the ones that came from South America.
Yeah, they were coming.
Yes.
You know, they're going to come all the way from South America. They're going to walk all the way over here.
Well, in fact, there were in California and in Texas, there were
a definite few
incidents of this very violent drug cabal kind of activity.
Yeah. And but that was always the exception.
Well, I mean, Trump describes the immigrants as a bunch of rapists.
Yeah, right. And so if you don't know, then you don't know anything about that. I was talking with kids the other day at the camp, and I was telling them how important it is that they do their own thinking. There's a reason why we have our own brains, right?
Yeah.
We weren't given the same brain. Everybody has their own, and your job is with your own brain is to do your own thinking. But many people have abdicated that. So I'll think about the things I want to think about. The things that I should be thinking about, I don't like thinking about that. So, well, Donald Trump and Newt Gingrich and guys like that. It used to be Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
And those guys. Well, yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Well, they're fully capable of stoking. If you can get everyone to be afraid of the same thing, they'll stop thinking about all the individual things they ought to be thinking about. They'll get into groupthink.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, and that's really
mass terror is perfect. If you want to control a bunch of people, get them all afraid of the same thing.
So that's at the root, that way of thinking of what we talked about at the beginning of the show, where you were talking about the fact that there's nobody to bring in the harvest.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's nobody to bring in the harvest because we don't want to take the risk.
Well, they were the British, a big part of the Brexit movement in Britain was the notion that they were going to lose the fabric of British culture and society. If they allowed all these people to move into Britain, they would lose their Britishness.
Right. You know?
And that's really the basis for the whole American anti-immigration movement, is we're going to lose our Americanism, which is interesting because we're all immigrants.
You just took the words out of my mouth. I mean, uh-huh. if you ask people what an American is,
yeah,
you can't. There's no nationality of American.
Americans are people who've lived in this hotel for a long time, right? Because
yes,
they all came to this hotel.
At some point. And really, you shouldn't have to do any hard thinking to understand that, right?
Well, thinking is hard. I mean. In a way, and I think particularly for Americans, where we've been guided into thinking in very short bursts, right? We think in Twitter length, we think in sound bites. You know, we've converted actual analytical thought into reactive thought, and America really has, in many respects, our society has turned into a reactive thought process rather than a deliberate, contemplative thought process. And what you're teaching the boys about using the brain is really super important, because Americans really are losing this capacity. I was listening as I come here. I listened to news podcasts.
Right.
I was listening to the Wall Street Journal news podcast, and one of the guys talking on the podcast was, and he's a journalist, right? And the Wall Street Journal is a pretty highbrow journalist source, right? And his grammar was just all wrong. you know, he was using pronouns incorrectly. He was, I was thinking, well, that's because Americans, we've lost the capacity to even think in paragraphs.
So he was sounding like Earl Ingram, huh?
No.
you know, Sandy, I'll tell you something. Here's kind of what it is. So people think when it's the things that they love, right? I'm a hunter. I'm going hunting. I've got to think in order to trap the prey what I have to do.
Right.
So I'm going to use my brain. I have to use my brain. I'm a fisherman. Fishing is what I love.
You know, interesting what you said. They've done, the people who've been doing archaeological and digs and analyzing the prehistoric human have concluded and determined that when we were hunter-gatherers, we had bigger brains. Our brains were bigger in size than they were after we became farmers. Because hunter-gatherers have to think all the time.
So does the sheer size of the brain have any bearing on anything, since we only use 10% of the capacity of it?
No, but I mean, I think the evaluation is that if a brain in a species getting smaller, it has something to do with how they use their brain and how important it is.
Speaking of a brain and getting smaller, I think CJ is on the line. Oh, I'm sorry. we've got to go to a break. Only funding, CJ. Only funding. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. We'll be right back. You know, but that, Sandy, I think is... Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. Man, it's always good to have you, Sandy. Let's go to the phone lines and CJ. CJ, what's going on?
Thank you, Earl and Sandy, for taking my call. Let's just talk facts. 239,000 in May. Illegal, undocumented aliens at the border. Yep, and these are facts. And you say that we want to, that we're based on fear. It's facts. If you were a border town, and they are, they're struggling to deal with this. And now every city, every state's a border town because they're shipping them in the middle of the night.
And just because I know you're
the facts
so
are. Earl,
CJ, wait a minute. Wait, just,
truth,
wait a minute. I just a question. CJ, just a question because I want to help the listeners. I know you're very interested and worried about the border towns in Texas and along the border. Can you name five border towns? Can you name five of them just so we? I want to be able to project and understand what's going on. Can you list five?
I can prove that you don't, Sandy.
No. Can you list? Just, I want you to list, because you're very worried about border towns. Which five border towns are you most concerned about?
Every border town.
See, we don't have a list, do we? No, we don't have a list because this is a talking... Wait, CJ. Wait. This is... I'm trying to be fair with you. Well, just a minute. I'm trying to be fair with you, but to talk about border towns...
CJ,
stop. Hold on. Just to talk about border towns without understanding what the border towns are or understanding anything about them is a demonstration that what you're dealing with here is a fearful-based talking point and not a fact-based problem.
Oh, come on, Sandy.
I'm talking...
Well,
yeah, come
the
on.
Mayors, even Democrat representatives are crying out for the... Who's in charge of... securing the border, Sandy. Right, exactly. The federal government. Mayorkas sat there and said, we've got 50 terrorists that came in. that they caught.
Now wait. This terrorist thing is, you know, I sat on a plane and listened to a very nice fellow, smart guy.
Do you believe Mayorkas? The secretary.
Well, of course, people have come across the border. Do you know how long our borders are? How many miles of border we have?
Come on, Sandy. They aren't protecting it. It's an open border.
We don't have. You think the border from Mexico is an open border? Do we have an open border? Do we have an open border with Canada?
Oh my gosh!
Do we have an open border with Canada?
It's more secure than it is the southern border.
Oh gosh, no, it isn't. Have you ever been to the border? Have you ever been to the boundary waters? Have you been to the boundary waters and canoed? You can take a canoe.
Overpaying in fines to contractors per day to not finish the wall. $3 million per day.
Okay, these are talking points.
These are definite talking points.
Yeah.
Well, here, let's get back to border security, though, because Canada's, how long is Canada's border with the United States? Do you know how many miles it is?
I don't care, Sandy.
Well, if you were a terrorist,
if you were a willful terrorist, CJ, please.
Oh my goodness!
Say what Republicans believe. Republicans believe in legal immigration. Yes, we need people, but we want them to come in lawfully. You don't care.
I think I do care, CJ. But CJ, wait. Just wait. CJ,
we can just cut you off. Right?
CJ, just have
a conversation without you.
Yeah.
So just chill.
So CJ, if you were a terrorist, and you were willfully inclined to get into the United States in order to commit terror, do you think you would come in through the Mexican border or the Canadian border?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, no, it definitely does matter. The Canadian border is what? Almost 3,000 miles long.
Said they captured 50. You can deflect on all these so-called figures or whatever, but the city of Janesville is coming across every month, and your party does not care.
What do you mean the city of Janesville?
He means the population of the city of Janesville. But I think to say it doesn't care is reciting something that isn't factually based.
Do you admit Mayorkas said we're paying $3 million a day in fines?
Again, talking points.
Well, we might, but maybe that's because the border wall isn't a good idea.
CJ, let me say this to you, man. Do you think that we've got plenty terrorists in our own country? Aren't we faced with different kinds of terrorists? No, wait a minute, CJ. We just had a young man slaughter 7 people and wound, I don't know how many others, 24. He didn't come from the border, and all of the others who have done the things that they're doing, they didn't come from the border. So you and others are alarming people that these people are coming from the border, and they're going to get you. The boogeyman's going to get you, and the terrorists. What are the people inside of this country that are causing the mayhem and havoc, CJ? I don't hear you say one mumbling word about that.
CJ, wait.
You're only worried about the 7, Earl? You're only worried about the 7 people in the mass shooting, but how many others were shot?
CJ, but you know what I said? Those people are in this country. They're not foreigners. Wherever they are, whether they're in the city of Milwaukee or where you live, they're from this nation. And yet,
Sandy do not believe in legal immigration. You just want to deflect on the length of the border and name 5 towns. It doesn't matter. You've got Democrat representatives all along the southern states that are crying out for the federal government to do their job. And you refuse to even admit that the city of Janesville, that's Mayorkas, that's Homeland Security numbers, it's not me making it up, 239,000 in May. We don't know what June numbers are yet, but I bet you it didn't go down under your presence.
So let me ask you. So 239,000 came across the border, is that what you're saying?
That they caught.
Okay, that they caught. Okay, so...
Well, so wait, they caught 239. So they
that's working.
They didn't actually get across the border, did they?
Well, no. I
know they're shipping them into our cities, Sandy. You can laugh and make fun of it.
Well, no, you're laughing.
We're running our schools, the infrastructure. There's legal immigration, and you guys don't believe in it. You want to laugh at it. Isn't that beautiful?
No, I'm kind of laughing at you. Because
yeah, well, it's all facts, Earl. You can laugh, but they're facts from your own party and administration. Those are their facts, not mine. So go ahead and laugh.
Well, again,
someone in your audience heard it.
Listen, man. Who's going to work the jobs? Who's going to work the jobs in this country? 327,000 more new jobs created. Who's going to work the jobs?
Oh, wow, Sam.
No.
So there's a legal way? So is there a legal way or an illegal way?
The legal way has not been. We'll just cut you off, man. You don't have to out-talk you.
Yeah, I'm sure you
know. Yeah, you know, unlike conservative shows, you would have been gone after 2 minutes. Okay, understand that. No, you're always talking about facts, man. Just because you call them facts don't mean that they're facts.
Well, let's even concede to you facts. You know, those might be numbers that are in fact are facts, but they don't necessarily reflect the conclusions that you reach from them, CJ. So, you know, we have a substantial number. No, just stop. We have a substantial number of people who cross the Mexican border illegally. There's no doubt about that. The question is, what is the answer to that? What is the response to that? There were a substantial number of people crossing the border illegally when Trump was president. He just talked about
how
it all
many,
the time.
Earl? How many, Sandy? 30,000. 30,000.
During his entire presidency? I doubt that.
No, per month.
Okay.
Per month.
All right.
30,000.
So that's 360,000 a year, incidentally. And so that's
okay,
a substantial
that's
number.
Almost 1 month.
And
of this president.
And so what we've got is definitely an issue at the border that relates to...
That we've always had.
Yes, that we've always had. And we've got a border control issue that both parties have worked with and tried. There have been serious efforts to get bipartisan votes in the legislature to deal... what's funny about that? I'm being serious now, CJ.
Because they aren't working. They want a comprehensive thing. 3 million per day times 365 days a year.
Wait, 3 million? Wait, how did we get to 3 million a day?
3 million in fines per day. Mayorkas said they're paying 3 million to contractors,
I think,
not to complete the wall.
Okay. He's still stuck on this wall.
All right.
Thank you very much for the call.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the call.
Yeah. Wow.
But Sandy, that's the other side of this.
Well, I mean, people do feel this way. I